Hello. Well, it got really quiet all of a sudden, so I guess I should start. People are, okay. Hey, it's good to see all of you this morning. My name is Steve Kim, and I'm the lead pastor here at Great Commission Community Church. If you're visiting us today, welcome. If you're new to the city, welcome. Welcome to Washington, D.C. We're so glad you're here with us. As we sang, as we talked about, we hope and pray that today as you worship and listen and fellowship and pray that you would indeed encounter God in a significant way. This month, this month of August, about five Sundays, we're going to do a short sermon series called The Gospel for Real Life. And sort of our desire is sometimes we could come to church on Sundays and kind of worship and pray and listen to scripture. But we can easily sort of put that aside during the week. And so what we wanted to do for month of August as we start new fall sort of semester, we wanted to make sure that we tie the things that we experience on Sundays with our real life. So today I'm going to talk about the very exciting topic of work, right? Okay. So hopefully this will be helpful. I think it will be helpful to you. I mean, work is so significant. Think about this. What's one of the first questions you get asked as you grow up? It's one of the things is, so what do you want to do when you grow up, right? And you, I mean, adults ask you that all the time in high school. Or think about how much energy, time, and money you spent in your education so that you can work. I mean, work is a huge deal. And most of us, I think, are here because, or Washington, D.C. here, not our church, but in the city, because you found a job here, or you studied here, or you're trying to get a degree so that you can work. Yeah? Am I right? So, I mean, work's so significant, and I want to make sure that your work life matters to God, and actually, it's a significant part of your, we could call it, the spiritual life. So, I want to talk about that. So here are my three points. One, I want to talk about Bible's high view of work. Number two, Bible's realistic view of work. And then number three, Bible's redemptive view of work. Okay, so Bible's high view of work. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, devices, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. I want to read first three verses for us. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And these three verses are the summary of what God did in chapter 1. So chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Right, we'll pause there. Here's the first thing that we want to remember. One is we have a God who worked. Like first two chapters of Genesis, the dominant activity of God is work. Like he worked to create the universe. Like our God worked. And if you read Psalms, here's Psalm 19, verse 1. This is what it says. Heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Jump down to verse 20, Psalm 19. He says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Here's what Psalmist is saying. Psalmist is saying that when we see the creation, we get a sense of who God is. That in his creation, he displayed his invisible attributes. And that's why when we walk, sometimes when we take a walk in a beautiful mountain somewhere, or when we stand in front of the ocean, we sense the presence of God. It's because his creation declares his glory. Like we get to see a glimpse of his beauty and majesty and power and holiness through his creation. We have a God who actually worked. Now, this is unique because when you read some of the ancient writings of other religion, their accounts of creation, it's something like this. It's like God creates the universe, and the gods recognize that someone has to upkeep the work or the creation. So gods create human beings so that they can work and keep the creation. Meaning it's sort of demeaning, and so that gods can rest. But in Bible's account, we have God who actually worked, and that's significant. Here's the second thing. Let's jump down to verse 7 of chapter 2 of Genesis. And this is what he says. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, a river flowed out of the Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the first that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Kihon. It is one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So here's the second thing. Human beings were made or created to work. We were made in God's image. God worked, and so we work. So in some sense, when we work, we image God. Like, that's part of who we are. That's how we were made. Like, we were made to work. We're made to create. God creates out of nothing. We create out of the resources that God's given to us. Like, that's why when we create things, like, it's sometimes it's, like, fulfilling, right? I'm like, you could imagine when Adam and Eve, and you know, they cultivate the land, they plant seed, and they see trees grow, and it bears fruit, and for Adam and Eve, it like that activity reflected their Creator, and it fulfilled them. And even though we live in a fallen sort of world society, we're marred by sin, we still get a sense of fulfillment when we create things to like love others or serve other people, right? So for some of you, I know work's hard, and I'll talk about that. But sometimes when you work and you're able to, like, finish your project or create something that maybe your boss has asked you to do and it comes all together, isn't there a sense of, like, fulfillment? Wow, this is nice. Or some of us who you might invite friends and you cook, you create a meal. You create an environment that's, like, comfortable and nice and you eat together. And, I mean, that's, like, fulfilling, right? Because you've created something that blessed others. Like for me, like when I work on the sermon and I try to create this and I present it to you, and if it goes well, I feel good. I go, wow, this is, and all that is there because we are made in God's image. We're made to create things. We're made to work with our hands and work with our minds. That's who we are. We bear God's image. One more thing, the third thing is it involves service to God and to a certain degree to others. When you read that verse 15, it says, God put human beings there to work it and keep it. That word work, it appears often in when it's describing the priest and the Levite's service to God in the tabernacle. And so it's kind of like Adam is working the land, but he actually is doing it in the presence of God to serve God. And so I think that's how we can define work. It's we are made, we have a God who worked. We are made in his image, so we also work. We also create. And as we create, we're serving God and we're benefiting others. Now, if you think it that way, I think that helps us to recognize that any kind of work can be, like, good. It has dignity. Think about Jesus. I mean, he came as a carpenter. He didn't come as a Roman official. He didn't come as a Greek philosopher. He came as a carpenter, and for, well, I'm guessing 30 years of his earthly life, he worked with his hands. So biblically, theologically, if that's our view of work, any kind of work has value and dignity. As an Asian parent, I know that's kind of challenging for me because I have kids that are getting older, and you know, you want them to like succeed in some sense, and we're trying to kind of give them some guidance. But what I really want them to recognize is three things. One, you look up and you recognize that God has made you uniquely. Like, God has gifted you, gifted my kid. I mean, so I want them to look up and recognize who they are before God. That's most important. Secondly, you look inside. I want my kids to look inside and recognize how God has shaped them, given them gifts and skills, passions, interests, right? And so you look inside, you go, how has God made me? What are my gifts and passions in life? And then you look out and recognize, well, how can I best serve the world or people? Like, what opportunities are there? What are some of the needs? And if you combine those three things, you kind of can hone in maybe kind of work that God might be calling you to do. So it's not just that you need to be a certain profession. I mean, every kind of work has value. It could be pleasing to God. Can I get an amen there? Okay. It could be pleasing to God. You don't have to be, I don't know, doctors and lawyers, I guess. Or not that if they're doctors, you know, that's a good job, occupation. But you don't have to be that. You could be a lot of other things. Because biblically, God's created you uniquely, and there will be an opportunity for you to please God, serve God, and serve other people. Now, here's my second point. But Bible also gives us a realistic view of work. Working to please God sounds all good, but the reality is many of you, I'm assuming many of you, have a hard time working. It's hard, difficult. It's hard to work with coworkers. You're exhausted from overworking. You don't sense God's presence when you're working. Why is that? And let me just read a few verses. If you have your Bibles open, I'm going to read a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. A few verses from there, verse 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17. The book of Ecclesiastes is a little different because he is taking on a viewpoint of a skeptic. He's sort of put God aside and he's looking at observing life. And so here, this is what he says. So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Skip down to verse 22. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. Now, I think he's at least saying two things. He's one, he's saying, there is no lasting significance. When you push God aside, he's saying, there's no lasting significance. He's saying, I've given all my effort and energy into work, but I have to leave it to someone behind. And when you read the whole chapter, he's talking about some fool is going to come after him and perhaps take all the credit. But there is no lasting significance in work. And that's what one of the things that he's talking about, that you can't get a lasting status, you can't get a lasting significance through work. Second thing that he says is, there is no lasting satisfaction. He says works become an anxious striving. There's no delight. Like, there's no joy. And then he says it ends in pain and grief. Pain because he's exhausted after years and years and years and years of work. He's physically exhausted. Secondly, there's grief because he's experienced failure. Like, you want to succeed, but very few people succeed to a degree where they're completely satisfied.
Like there's grief and pain. And he describes his work as anxious toil. There is no lasting satisfaction. So the question that we want to ask is, what happened? Because God's original design is through work, we would sense the presence of God and have delight and fulfillment, and that we image God. What happened? Well, Genesis 3 happened. God creates beautiful universe, creates man, woman, places them there, and he says, you work, you cultivate the land, and enjoy the land, enjoy work. But Genesis 3 happens. Adam and Eve decide to push God aside, and they want to become their own king. And three things happen, right, in the fall. One, they were kicked out of the Eden, meaning they were kicked out of God's presence. And then two, their relationship with one another became broken. Instead of loving and serving each other, they became selfish. They blamed each other. And the third thing that happened was the work that they were called to do, it became hard. Thorns came out instead of fruit, right? It hard until they, it brought exhaustion to death. I mean, that's the result of the fall. Three things. I mean, originally God created so that man could be with him in his presence, that they would experience his fulfillment in their relationship, and in their work they would experience fulfillment. But all those three things were shattered because of the fall. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I think this person is describing a life without God, trying to accomplish things in his life. So my third point is, okay, how do we then view workout work? And here's my third point, Bible's redeeming view of work. Okay. Bible is really clear in that all things will be redeemed in Jesus through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, all things, things in heaven and on earth will be united in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, again, Paul says similar things, but everything will be reconciled, both things in heaven and things on earth in Christ. So Bible says the whole redemptive like story of the world will hinge upon Jesus and who he is, what he accomplished on the cross for us. And through Christ, the whole universe will be restored. Not just spiritual things, but earthly things. Meaning your work will be redeemed through Christ, right? Because Christ is the head. He is above all things. So it's through Christ, everything will be restored, including our work. So that means, number one, it means in Christ, we can have satisfaction and significance. Now, this is important because for some of us, we try to use our work to gain a sense of significance, right, or status. Like, we work really hard hoping that it will make us into someone or make us or have us gain some status or significance. The Bible says, the gospel says, you already have that completely in Christ. Like in Christ, you are already eternally significant. So that means you don't have to work to gain something. You work to really honor God and serve other people. No matter what your occupation is, you already are significant in Christ. The best illustration that I've heard on this is the movie called Chariots of Fire. Maybe some of you heard this, and I know it came out in 1981, so most of you were not born. But if you haven't seen it, you should watch it. It's pretty powerful. It's about two Olympians, right? One named Harold Abrahams, another Olympian named Eric Little. And they both are fast, and they compete in Paris 1924 Olympics. They're sort of both favored. Harold Abraham, this is what he says during the movie. He says, as he's thinking about running the race, he says, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. What is he saying? He's saying, I have to win this race to know that I am someone who is significant, that I gain a sense of status and reputation. I have to win it. So that's his mindset. Whereas Eric Little, he recognizes that the qualifying run falls on Sunday. And then he says, I can't run on Sunday. I need to keep my Sabbath. So he doesn't run, actually. And then, you know, the committee, I think it's Scottish, Scotland, the Olympic committee kind of said something. And basically, he ends up running the 200 meters, and he wins the gold medal in 200. But this is what he says. He says, I think towards the end of the movie, he says, when I run, I sense the pleasure of God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know who I am. I know that I completely belong to God. So when I run, I'm running for him. This is how God made me. So as I run, I sense the pleasure of God. Can I say this to you? This can be a reality in your life. If you understand that you are already completely, fully significant before God because of Christ, so you're not trying to gain, like, a sense of reputation, a sense of status, a sense of worth. You already have that in Jesus. So you're serving all the people. And as you do that, you will begin to sense the presence of God more and more. You'll sense the pleasure of God. You're already worth Jesus' death on the cross. So that's important. And this is why Sabbath is important. Because Sabbath, coming to church like this, whether it's this church, some other church, you're traveling, it's so important to observe Sabbath. Because at the end of the day, Sabbath is not about not doing work. Sabbath is about your identity. You worship to know who you are, who God is and who you are. So Sabbath is so crucial. You come and worship and we sing songs and take communion and listen to God's word to be reminded of who God is and who we are in Jesus, so that we can go out and begin to love people and serve people, not to gain things for ourselves, no, so that we can display more of Jesus into this world. That's why keeping Sabbath is crucial. It helps you to remember who you are in Jesus. Now, here's the second thing. How to redeem work. And I think this is, the more I think about it, I think this is really important. Because of Jesus or in Christ, your work matters. Now, think about this. This is so significant because I think we either fall in two categories. One, some of you think too highly of your work. Like, it becomes your idol. Some of you, like, you hate your work. Like, you despise your work. You know, you kind of push it up. You just kind of live for the weekend, you know, whether it's hanging out with your friends or whatever it might be. But I think what Bible says in the New Testament is because of Jesus, our work actually matters. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. He says, bond servants, so he's writing to servants, bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And then he says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So he's talking to servants, right? They're serving people. But he says, Paul says, you're serving your masters matter because you're ultimately serving Christ. There's a connection in Jesus, what you do here, your work here. There's a connection, I think, between that and your eternal heavenly, like, reward. That's what Paul is saying. There's connection, right? So, I'll pick had a career before we got married, but once we had our first kid, she decided to stay home, right? And so find work outside home now because our kids are older and she's having a hard time. But like when I see that, her struggle to kind of like find a sense of like place, work, see that when I see scripture, what it's saying is like what you do here on earth, whether you are a stay-home mom, stay-home dad, you're a lawyer, you are a janitor, whatever you do, you're a servant, whatever you do, if you do it in Christ for the Lord, there's a connection between that and the reward that you will receive in heaven. Like, there's a connection. It's not, you're not isolated in your work. It actually matters whether you are taking care of your kids or whether you are operating on a patient. It all matters if you are able to do it for the Lord. So it matters. Whatever your work might be, it matters because of Jesus. God sees it. He can be pleased by your work, and there's some kind of connection between what you do here and your heavenly reward. Now, what that exactly looks like, I don't know. Like, I don't think the Bible is really clear on like how those two things like exactly connect. But it is clear in that your work matters to God. Just lastly, and I'm done. I guess the last thing that I want to say is, then see your work as part of your calling. So what that means is, not all of your calling, right? So because some of us think that your work is your calling. It's not. It's only part of your calling. You're called to be a friend. You're called to be a part of this community. That's your calling in life. You're called to be a husband, to be a wife, a son, a daughter. All of those things are God's calling for you, and also your call to your work. So it's significant because it's part of your calling in life, but it's not the calling in life, or it's not something that you just push aside and say, this is not spiritual, I'm going to focus on spiritual. No, it's all of your life is calling from God, your work life, your church community life, your family life, your relational life. All of it matters to God. And so we do it unto Him. And if you can do it the right way, you will sense the pleasure of God as you do it. Not to gain things for yourself, but you know who you are. So you move out and serve other people, and you do it for His glory. All right, let's pray, and we'll take communion. Just really quick response. We've spent some time in prayer and interceding for our city and other things already, but just maybe two really quick things. One, no matter what your occupation is, not just on Sundays, but Mondays through Fridays, God is with you and God sees you. And what you do Mondays through Fridays matter greatly to God. And we can honor Him through our work, whatever your work might be. We want to work to honor Him, not to gain a sense of identity or significance. No, we already have that if you are in Christ. We already have that, so we live it out. We do our best. We honor Him. So let's just surrender our work to God. And then second thing that you could pray for is just your work space or work environment, your company, your who you're working with. Let's just pray for them. Pray that that in some little ways, or maybe it's a big ways, that God would be in the midst of your work space. And let's just even bless your coworkers. Significance to people even as they work. I'm going to give us a minute to say a prayer for those two things, and then we'll take communion. Father, we surrender our work to you. We look at you and you created something beautiful out of nothing. And you've created us to work, to create things that's beautiful. Thank you that our work has value because of Jesus. No matter what our work might be, I pray for those especially as we're struggling with maybe our careers or jobs or work. Lord, pray that you would give them more grace so that in the midst of searching and figuring things out, that they will look up, and they will look in, they will look out and really find their sort of prophetic calling from you, Lord. We surrender our work to you and who we are to you. We pray that you would provide a deeper meaning, deeper significance through it because of who you are. And in Jesus' name we pray.